very vital subject that has been on my heart to share. And so we're going to commence with Philippians 4, no better really portion of scripture that we'll read regarding contentment, okay? Philippians 4, and if you're there, let's go ahead and jump into verse 10, Philippians 4:10. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at your last care for me has flourished again, though you surely did care, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Nevertheless, you have done well that you have shared in my distress. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Gracious Father, we thank you for this portion of Scripture. Thank you, Lord. Fill my heart, fill my mind, fill my words, Lord, with your words. Father, may they be Spirit-filled. May they minister to all of our hearts. Lord God, teach us by your word and by your Spirit. We pray for open minds and open hearts this morning as you seek to impart truth into our lives. For that we're grateful. In Jesus' name, amen. Alrighty, I want to begin with a question this morning. And that is, are you happy about your life? Are you happy? Okay, see some nods. How many of y'all know that there is so much around us at work against us, teaching us not to be happy with our lives, not to be happy, get this, with the way you look? Oh, Lordy. You know, I spent 2019 cutting back on my running miles and building muscle, and now I don't like the muscle that I built because it slows me down when I run, and my shirts don't fit as nicely as they used to, and my pants, we won't even go there. So, yes, those are first world problems, and I experienced some of that. So, are we happy with how we look? Are we happy with the money we make? I am. Okay, just want to make that clear. Don't want to start the rumor mill here. Whew, quick save. Are we happy with our spouse? No amens. One way or the other, please. I'm sure you are. Are we happy with the place in life we are in this morning? Are we happy? You know, we have I'm thankful for capitalism because in my estimation, I'm sure y'all would agree with me, capitalism is the best system of finance in the world. I don't believe in socialism. I don't believe in fascism. I don't believe in Marxism. I don't believe in any of that. I believe that you work hard to earn your money, that in this land of opportunity, you can advance yourself if you want to. Amen? But there's a downside to capitalism, and that is to keep the machine going, the machine that we call our great economy. It has to create discontent in your life. Well, you know, my car is not that great anymore. There's no new car smell anymore to that car. That lasts only about, what, a month, 2 months, maybe? And then all of a sudden, you're stuck with the payments. Oh, Lord. Lordy, lordy. And, you know, then you turn on the TV and you have infomercials about wrinkles. And if you buy this lotion, you get three of them for $9.95 plus shipping and handling. They never tell you how much the shipping and handling is. Because once you get the bill, it's going to be $20 shipping and handling. And only the product is $9.95. And you call within the next 10 minutes, well, bless the Lord, we're going to throw in an extra of this, you know. How many of y'all know what I'm talking about? You know what I'm talking about, right, Brother Lau? There's so much, listen, church family, there is so much working on our hearts and on our minds or trying to sway our hearts and minds to create discontent. My point, church family, listen, you can live your life happy or you can live your life unhappy and always looking for the next best thing that's going to make you happy. Look, always looking for the next best fix that's going to make you happy. Always pinning your happiness to a future event and not your present reality. Amen? I remember when I was younger, I used to say a lot, I'll be happy when, or I'll be happy if. Well, when and if never happened. They never came. Right? They never come. Listen, it's been said before that many of us forfeit, we lose the small joys of life, always looking for the big happiness. The small joys. Life, how many of y'all would agree with me this morning that life is a compilation of small joys? And listen, if we're not careful, we're going to, all of those small joys are going to pass us by. We're going to get to the end of our lives with nothing to account for, with no memories, with no gladness of heart, with bitterness that life did not pan out the way we had hoped for, because we were looking for the big happinesses instead of enjoying the small joys of life. Well, Pastor Joe, I'll be happy when that second stimulus paycheck comes my way. Baby, I wouldn't hold my breath. Is it getting quiet because I'm kind of putting the needle on the record here, getting a little too close to home? Well, I'll be happy when... And then we always live for that when. I'll be happy if, and we always live for that if. Well, my friends, why aren't you happy now? You've got Jesus, don't you? Amen. Isn't he the cause of happiness? Right? Here in Philippians 4, Paul the Apostle says a few verses before, rejoice in the Lord always, and again, I say rejoice. We're not rejoicing in our current circumstances alone. We're rejoicing in the Lord. Because with Christ, we have every reason to be happy. We have every reason to hope. We have every reason, come on somebody, help me preach this, to be up and hopeful that good things are happening because I have God on my side. Amen. We are happy. I've got Jesus, I've got hope. I've got Jesus, I've got abundant life. I've got Jesus, listen, I can cope through it all. The Bible says here in Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Now, that's not to say, listen, that's not to say that we can't set goals. How many of y'all know that goals are good? That's not to say that we can't improve ourselves. How many of y'all would say we all need to improve ourselves? Present company included here, right here, talking about myself. Amen. Right? And listen, my improving myself does not hinge on whether my girlfriend or when I was married, my spouse improved. When we stand before the Lord, he's not going to ask you, well, why didn't you pursue holiness? Lord, because my spouse didn't pursue holiness as much as I thought she should have. Uh-oh, we getting to meddling now. Oh, my girlfriend didn't pursue holiness the way I thought she should have. No, that's not going to hold water, is it? Not on the day of judgment, will it? Lord said, no, I called you to pursue holiness independent of anybody else in your life. Right? So improvement is a part of it, and we should. Okay? Now let's I want to boil down the passage that we read into three different points, okay, that'll help us crystallize this message and help us cement it in our lives. And the first one is found in verse 11. Not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. Notice that word learned. I have learned. He says it the next verse. He says, I have learned to abase and I have learned to abound. That word learned is the Greek word manthano. Manthano, which means this, to learn by use or practice. To learn by putting it into practice. He's not talking here about understanding mentally a theological concept. He's talking about learning the attribute of contentment. In truth, church family, contentment must be cultivated in our lives. It doesn't just happen automatically. Right? It's like tending a garden. If you want those beautiful flowers to grow, then you got to pull the weeds. You got to water the good and get rid of the bad. And that's the same with contentment. Listen, I've got to pull away from discontentment. I've got to weed that discontentment. I've got to be content with my life. And it brings me to the definition of content. It is autarkes, autarkes. The first part of the word auto, we get like the word auto, as in automatic, auto, sufficient, okay? And this is the definition, to be, number one, satisfied. So let me ask us, are we satisfied in our lives? Are we satisfied in a good way with our relationship with God? Can I ask you this? Is Jesus more than enough for you now? Or are you seeking something else? Are we seeking a material possession? Are we seeking, pursuing other trivial matters? Or is Jesus sufficient for us in our lives? That's a question that we all must answer. Is Jesus sufficient in my life? To be satisfied. Are we satisfied in our lives? Okay, it also means this, to be self-sufficient. That means that in any moment in life, in any situation in life, in any circumstance in life, I depend on Him and I am independent of circumstances. Can I pursue that thought a little bit, church family? Who's ever met some moody people? Oh, Lord have mercy. Wow. I'm like, what stung you this morning?
Well, I just have some questions about this, and I'm not happy about that, and I just want an answer to this, and I just...
And then the next couple hours, they change. Now they're super happy, but then something happens, and they're super mad. Anybody ever met of any moody people? Can I speak some truth this morning, church family? I'm not a moody dude. I'm a pretty happy guy. You know, I'm pretty. If I was an airplane, I'd be like steady at 30,000 mile an hour. Or not 30,000 mile an hour, 30,000 feet. No, I'm not that fast.
You are, goodbye.
That's I'm steady at 30,000 feet above ground, okay? Does that make sense? Well, I know where that speed came from anyway. But moody people do not understand contentment. Because they're like this, and they're like this, and they're like this, and they're like this. You know, I want to be steady, man. I want to be... Listen to the words of Paul. I have learned how to be abased, how to suffer lack, and I have learned how to abound. Is that pretty plain for us, you know? I have learned... in whatever state I am in, therewith or therein, to be what? Content. To be satisfied. To be self-sufficient. Listen, the 9 o'clock news or the 9 o'clock news, 10 o'clock news, it's not going to jerk my chain. The 6 o'clock news, I'm going to turn it off if I have to, but it's not going to keep dampening my mood. Can I get a witness in the house, please? Listen, I have the source of good news 24 hours a day. And it's called the All Things Are Possible Network. We just need to shift our satellite to receive its waves. Amen? So are we satisfied? So we learn, point number one, we learn contentment. Point number two, contentment is an inside job. Wow, that one escaped me. Contentment has nothing to do with the circumstances around us, does it, church family? You know, I've known some people who had it made externally by our standards, by our definitions, that we thought if I had what they had, man, it'd be easy street for me. Who's ever thought that? And yet the people with all the blessings are complaining about something. So can we get beyond that notion that if I can only rearrange the outward circumstances of my life, that life will be good? That's a lie. That does not occur. Because if I am not content in my heart, there are not enough external circumstances to make me happy on the inside. Right? You know, the story was told about this man that was this sage that kind of made his little dwelling in the middle of a road, not in the middle, on the side of a road between two cities. And on occasion, he would see a traveler leaving a city and going to another city, the city that was upcoming. And so the sage was there, and so sure enough, there was a traveler that had left one city. He had lived in that city for many years, and the sage, you know, he approached the sage, and he said, "Hey, sir, I just finished coming from this city. I'm moving toward the next city." And he said, "Can you tell me how the next city is?" And the sage asked him, "Well, describe your last city." And the guy, the traveler said, "Well, the last city, people were mean. They were wrong. They were cruel. They were insensitive. They were not friendly. It was a crazy place. It was a terrible place to live in." And the sage told him, "So will the next city you live in be." Not long after, there was another traveler. And the traveler stopped and asked the sage, "How will the next city be that I'm about to move to?" And the sage asked him the same question, "How was the last city you lived in?" He said, "Oh, there were great people. Loved it. I'm going to miss that city because the people were so kind to me, so attentive, so friendly. I just am going to miss those people." And the sage told him, "So will the next city you move to be." What's the point? Contentment is an inside job. It's the attitude. Right? Maybe rearranging externals is like rearranging, shuffling deck chairs on the Titanic. It's still going down. Right? Contentment is an inside job. Now, let me say something about here that, you know, we talked about all the externals that, well, not all of them, but a sampling of the externals that try to seek to create discontent within us. And listen, we've got to be very careful. I'm going to say this in love. I'm not going to mention any televangelist names, but we got to be careful with a hyper-prosperity gospel. Because they're creating discontent in us, listen, and they have these million, multi-million dollar ministries, and so they can afford some of the stuff they can afford, but us average followers of Jesus Christ, we don't make $3 million a year. And so it's easy for them, and some of them, you know, I've heard this one televangelist, he was on one of the major Christian networks, and he was talking about how he owned the largest house in the state of Louisiana. And I'm like, my first thought was, so what? Because then the next thought I had were the words of Jesus. A person's life does not consist in the abundance of material possessions that he or she has. So why are you telling me that you live in this mansion so big that it's the largest one in the entire state you live in? And then you're hitting people up for money to buy you the very best private jet available. Oh, Lord. I'm glad I'm not God. Who's glad you're not God? Because I don't have to worry about settling all that mess. That thing's going to settle out in the day of judgment, right? All righty. Now, third point. So the first point is contentment is a learned behavior. We learn it by use. We learn it by practice. Number two, contentment is an inside job. Number three, contentment comes from the sufficiency of Christ in our lives. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Because of Christ in my life, I can be content in any and all circumstances. I can manage. Amen. You know, there have been some times in my life that you know, the external circumstances were not fun. I didn't like them. It was very difficult, sometimes even painful. But you know what I would keep telling myself? I would keep telling myself this: Joe, this is only going to last for a season. This is not your lot in life forever. So why relegate your happiness to the future? Why not be happy now where you're at and let the Lord guide you out of it in due season? Right? Baby, I no longer think like, I'll be happy when, or I'll be happy if. I think I'm going to be happy now. I've got Jesus in my life now. He's the lover of my soul. He's the savior of my sins. He's the forgiver of my sins. He is my deliverer. He is my God. He is my Lord. He is my provider. He is my healer. What else do I need? Now, we'll look at this verse down the road, but one of the greatest verses in the Bible is Psalm 23, where it says, it talks about this sheep-shepherd relationship. And it's basically a psalm by David talking about the sheep with reference to the shepherd. You make me lie down in green pastures. That's contentment, baby. Because if you're a sheep, you're going to be grazing on those green pastures. But notice, the contented sheep is the one that can lie and not feel they have to devour the green pastures. I love that. So I want to close with this thought. Are you a contented sheep? Can we decide this morning, church family, that we're going to learn contentment for ourselves in our lives? That we're going to become more and more, little by little, and some of you already have, and you're well on your journey of contentment, but how many of us know that we all can have room to grow in the contentment department? Living in the most blessed country in the world. We don't know how blessed we are, man. We don't know how blessed we are. All right. How many of y'all were blessed with the teaching of the word? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this time together. Thank you, Lord, for your love for us. Thank you, God, for your word. Thank you for teaching us by your word and by your spirit. Thank you, Lord. Help us to be followers that are contented with our eyes on you, Lord. Always looking to the source of our contentment, the sufficiency of Christ in our lives. Jesus, you're more than sufficient. You are all we need in our lives, and we're thankful for that. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen.